Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get an extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use promo code Bill at checkout. Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Carrie Lake joins us now from London, England, where she was telling me before the interview, her sister lives over there. So you were lucky enough to see King Charles had that big thing on his head. You know, I thought he was going to get a concussion wearing that big thing.
That big thing, I love it. The crown, yes. Well, we've been in Europe. I was doing some of the speaking at the CPAC event in Hungary, which is a beautiful, amazing country. Budapest is one of the most beautiful, safe cities I've ever had the pleasure of touring through. And then we decided to swing through London. We've done some media over here and to see a little bit of history unfolding. Like you, Bill, I love history. And I'm so glad that we broke free from the tyrants, you know, back in 1776. It's wonderful to see history in a moment like that. And it was great to be with all of the ever so polite and charming folks from England, the British people, on this historic occasion.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you had a good time over there. I lived in England for a year. I respect their traditions. But if it were me, I would have thrown Charles's crown into Boston Harbor. I mean, I'm not big on being a subject to anybody, as you probably know. Have you?
Well, between me and you, between just me and you, I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
and
that's, I mean, most Americans, we're happy we're not subjects, we're citizens. Right. Have you discussed the vice presidency with Donald Trump? I know you were down at Mar-a-Lago a few weeks ago.
No, you know, I talk to President Trump quite frequently, and as you know, I'm a big supporter of his. And we haven't talked about that. I think one time the word vice president ever came up, and he was actually giving me kudos for an answer I'd given many, many months ago during the campaign when the press was starting to hound me about, are you going to leave if you're elected governor and become vice president? And I said something like, well, I'm flattered that you would ask that, because just a few months ago, you were acting like I wasn't even worthy of running for governor. And now all of a sudden, you're worried I'm going to, you know, win and leave to become vice president. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be your worst nightmare for 8 years. I'm going to be the press worst nightmare for 8 years as governor. And so he chuckled at that and thought it was a funny answer. Frankly, I don't think he needs a vice president. If there's ever one president who's been strong enough to lead without one, It's Donald Trump.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I know that situation pretty well, as I'm sure you understand. Pence helped him. I mean, that fell apart at the end over the crazy election stuff, but Pence helped Trump, and they were in frequent contact. Pence wasn't Kamala Harris, who they just want to get out of the way. Pence was smart. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I think
Well,
Trump would like to put a woman on the second.
think about
And
Kamala Harris, though. She might be hated more than Joe Biden. So maybe that's a
well,
good key
that's a
for him to
bad
have
word though. Nobody should
people go, wait
hate.
a minute, which one's worse?
Nobody should hate Kamala Harris. She's incompetent, in over her
Is it
head. Those are all true. Now, you're an interesting study to me because you anchored the news on a Fox affiliate in Phoenix for 20 years. Everybody in the state knew you. And for people to say, well, why would you want to run or you shouldn't run? I mean, you know more about the state than probably anybody else having that kind of experience on your sheet. When you were involved in the campaign against Hobbs, two women running, the Arizona Republic and some of the other media were against you. Do I have that right?
Oh yeah, I mean,
Okay.
I got the Trump treatment in the media from the start. I'm an
Why?
outsider.
Why
Everyone
though?
else.
Arizona isn't California. It's not New York where I am. Arizona is kind of a in the middle state with a very big conservative base. So why were they after you?
Well, they don't want outsiders, Bill. I mean, let's face it. There's the Uniparty and there's America First. And sad to say, I hate to say it, there's a lot of Republicans in the Uniparty. And the people behind our corrupt elections were these rhino Republicans. And President Trump is having to go to battle with some of them as well. They don't want outsiders. They want to protect the political apparatus as it stands. They're the political elite. They're worried about padding their own pockets, lining their pockets, and they really don't care at all about the American people. And that's why President Trump was such a breath of fresh air. He came in and immediately started fighting for the American people. And that's why they're doing everything they can to try to stop him.
Okay.
He is an existential threat to
But
the
let's talk about you. I mean, Trump, it's plenty
similar.
airtime. Let's talk about you. I was surprised you lost because of the border. I mean, Arizona is a much smaller state than Texas, which a much lower budget, and the impact of millions of migrants coming into this country has influenced every single person in your state. Yet Hobbs, who won by, a minuscule margin, I don't know why she was even in the game because she was soft on border enforcement. Are there that many Arizonans who are okay with this chaos on the border?
Absolutely not. They're horrified. My number one policy issue was I have had the strongest and have the strongest a border policy the country's ever seen. It was leaning very heavily on the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, which allows the states to protect the border and protect their citizens when there's an invasion and we have an invasion on our border. I know you're saying I lost, and that's fine. You can say that. This is why we're fighting it in the courts. They sabotaged Election Day. They intentionally printed the wrong ballots on Election Day, and they had 61% of our polling locations that were non-functioning on Election Day because they knew the Republicans were showing up to vote. And that's why we're fighting it. When you have corrupt elections, we have deadly consequences, and the deadly consequences are what's
Listen,
turning out
all I'm
for
doing is asking questions on the record because the record is she's sitting there in Phoenix as
right.
the governor. And
And
you
that's why
may,
I have
if you prevail on the, voter verification, then all hell breaks loose in Arizona. But we'll wait and see. But I don't even think it should have been close. I think you should have won that election. But see, I don't understand the demographics of Arizona because if it were me, I would have voted for you only because of the immigration. I don't care
Right.
about anything else because that had been so dramatic and adversely affected Arizona so much. But there were millions of people who voted for your opponent, and I can't understand their mindset at all.
Well, this is why we have to get to the bottom of how corrupt our elections are. They were corrupt in 2020 and 22, and I'm fighting it. I will not back down. We know what happened in Arizona. We know we actually won by a landslide. It wasn't a slim margin, but we'll continue to fight that in the courts.
All right, that would be the biggest scandal in American history if that is borne out.
That's
a big if.
We have this on our hands, and in 3 days' time, when Title 42 is stripped away, we are going to see an invasion, and it's going to shock America. It's going to shock
people. And the Biden White House is going to take it again because of their incompetence, and that's all it is.
Incompetence, Bill. They're partners with the cartels, okay?
No.
They're not doing anything on the border to secure
the
people.
They're not doing anything, but they're not in bed with the cartels. Joe Biden doesn't care, number one, and isn't at this point in his life able to problem solve on any level. So
he told everybody, come on over. The borders are wide open.
He absolutely encouraged it, and the cartel picked that up, and the drugs are coming in, and the people are coming in, and it's a disaster. And just for that reason alone, Biden shouldn't even run again. But we live in a country that's changing dramatically. Last question for you. If you don't prevail in your lawsuit against Arizona and the vote, and you don't get the nod or the call from Donald Trump, and I wouldn't put it past him to contact you about the VP, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I'm not somebody who's waiting to be VP. I mean, I love President Trump because I love his policies. I love what he did. I love that he's a fighter. We need more fighters in the Republican Party. And frankly, in politics, we need people who will step forward and fight for the people. And so I'm doing whatever I can to help him. I absolutely feel that he's the best person.
So you'll campaign for him and you'll be involved in the Trump 24.
I may, if we do not get the results people of Arizona deserve in this election case, I may consider running for Senate. That's no secret. I've talked about that before.
Okay.
It's in the back of my mind. We have a Senate seat that's going to be a three-way race between Kyrsten Sinema, who is a Joe Biden puppet, and also between Ruben Gallego, who is a Marxist socialist and maybe even hinging on communist. And we need somebody who's going to fight for the people of Arizona. So that's something I'm
right.
seriously.
We'll take a look. And when do you have to declare for that if you're going to do it?
Early next year, I think by April or something like that.
By 24. There's really so you got time. All right, Ms. Lake, we really appreciate you coming on, and you're welcome anytime.
You're awesome, Bill.
Something you want to say, or when the final Supreme Court ruling comes down in Arizona, and it's the Supreme Court of Arizona, by the way, that's considering this case. We're happy to have you back.
We're going to take this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court as well.
Good.
And I'd love to come on when we do that. And we just have
absolutely.
A book that just came out.
That'll be fascinating.
Listen,
I would do the same thing. If I believe that I didn't get a fair shake, I would do exactly the same thing. And we appreciate it. Safe trip home from London. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
Sorting through your expenses, estimated payments, and all those tax deductions can be overwhelming, might even lead to a failure to file and failure to pay penalties that pile up on your tax debt. The attorneys at Tax Network USA have been lifesavers for many Americans. Their team has successfully saved clients more than $1 billion in tax debt. A billion. Whether you're in the hole for $10,000 or $10 million, they are ready to help. The expert attorneys and tax professionals at Tax Network USA are equipped to secure the best settlement for you and help you resolve all tax cases. So please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. These debt relief programs are expected to change, so get started now. Please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Okay, woke, which ties in with the far left. So there was a recent op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. I want to read you a part of it. It says, quote, in 2018, BlackRock's Larry Fink encouraged CEOs to serve a social purpose beyond financial performance. This new trend pushed many companies, including Anheuser-Busch, away from delivering value to shareholders and towards stakeholder capitalism, in which companies serve all the stakeholders, including customers, suppliers, employees, and communities. To implement this shift, companies like BlackRock tout ESG, environmental, social, and governance reporting. It was written by Anson Friedrichs, who is a former Anheuser-Busch executive, and he joins us now from Columbus, Ohio. Did you get any pushback on that op-ed? Did anybody call you a fascist or anything like that?
Not yet, Bill. Luckily, there's still a lot of American free market capitalists out there that believe that companies should be focused on their shareholders, creating great products, services that have their customers come back to them because they're loyal to the brand, as opposed to the stakeholder capitalism model that BlackRockers are pushing, that they want companies to be beholden to activists and political figures. So okay. Luckily, not yet. I'm sure they're
I'm
out
glad,
there.
Yeah, I'm so glad nobody came in. Well, you're in Columbus, Ohio. So if you were in San Francisco or in LA, it'd be a different story. Now, you worked for Anheuser-Busch for 11 years, okay? Were you surprised that they hired this Dylan Mulvaney, this trans person, to market Bud Light? Did that surprise you when you first saw it?
It surprised me when I first saw it, but really how the company has transformed itself over the last 5 years, on reflection, I wasn't that surprised. I mean, this is an organization that had been based in St. Louis, Missouri for over 100 years. Yet 7 years ago, they moved their sales marketing organization to New York City, hired a lot of people from New York City, hired a lot of marketing agencies from New York City, and adopted a stakeholder capitalism. And then by virtue of that, ESG, DEI, et cetera, and even changed the values of the company over the last 5 years. It used to be a company that was all about meritocracy. Yet all of a sudden now they changed some of their values to be not necessarily about hiring the best and the brightest, but actually measuring people on things like the diversity of their teams, the inclusiveness of their teams. And unfortunately, that's permeated really the entire organization, Bill. Okay. And that's what led to this outcome.
We should note that they fired their marketing in New York City because now they're in trouble, losing billions of dollars. Now, when you have a situation where the company's philosophy changes, that comes from the board of directors and the CEO, right?
It does come from the board of directors and the CEO, but unfortunately, that is foisted on them by companies like BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, that manage $20 trillion worth of capital. They're the single largest shareholder in 95% of the S&P 500 companies. And so therefore, they're foisting this agenda onto most major corporations.
Okay, most people don't understand what you're saying. BlackRock is a financial corporation based in New York City, right? They buy shares of companies all around, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the worst part about this is, Bill, but they don't use their own money. This isn't like Bill Gates or George Soros.
No, people invest money in the BlackRock. So now their choice of investment, buying shares in Anheuser-Busch or anything, is partially based on whether it's a woke company or not. Is that what you're telling me?
So what I'm saying is that BlackRock and others, they've adopted these political agendas and they manage $20 trillion of capital. It's your money, Bill. It's your 401k. It's in your pension fund. If you have a pension fund, they're using that capital to tell companies like Anheuser-Busch to adopt ESG, environmental social governance standards.
Well, what if Anheuser-Busch says, we're not going to do it? Then what happens? Well, what does BlackRock do to them?
So what does BlackRock do to them? Well, they say that we're not going to invest additional dollars into your company.
That's what I mean.
Investors are going to pull out because you don't have a good ESG score, because your corporate equality index score has declined. So they're using a lot of these scoring mechanisms to allocate additional capital to companies and then punishing them when they are not actually abiding by sort of getting certain scores or goals.
So it's basically extortion. You do what we want you to do, BlackRock is saying, or we're going to pull our investments out of your corporations, weakening your financial portfolio. That's extortion.
That's basically it. I mean, it's not only BlackRock, but it's Vanguard, it's State Street, it's Goldman Sachs. I mean, you go down the entire list of companies. I mean, frankly, that's why I left Anheuser-Busch, is to create an alternative asset management company that called Strive. And all we do is we're trying to have companies focus on corporate excellence, period. We believe in shareholder capitalism. If you're a beer company, create beer. Don't necessarily get involved in politics.
Yeah, I think it's horrible myself. So Anson's company is, he's the co-founder and president, is Strive, S-T-R-I-V-E, asset management based in Columbus. Final question for you. We're living in a, as you heard in my remarks earlier in the program, we're living in a country where the woke and the far left has assumed a lot more power than most people, I think, want them to. It's not like the majority of Americans are woke, and we're seeing that with Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light. I mean, they're losing billions of dollars because they did this and people were offended. But the guys at the top, the BlackRock guys, the people behind Biden, the George Soros people, they got so much money and so much power. They can basically push this country into a direction that most people don't want it to go. Do you agree with that?
They do have all that money and they do have a lot of the power. One of the reasons we created Strive is now giving people an alternative to push back. And luckily, we're starting to see a lot of states starting to push back. States like Florida, states like Texas, states like Indiana. But now we're also giving people, everyday citizens, firefighters, doctors, police officers, et cetera, the ability to invest their capital to put it behind a cause like Strive that's going to be able to just maximize the value of their investments, not necessarily advance a progressive agenda like you're seeing at the BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. So finally, we're starting to see the pendulum swing back. We've had a little bit of success so far, long way to still go, but I think there's a hunger and a desire for people to be able to vote their dollars and be able to put it behind asset managers that better reflect what they want to see companies do, which is, again, maximize value, not necessarily advance progressive values.
I appreciate it, Anson. Now we know why. The why is always the most important thing. Thanks for helping us out today.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Bill. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/B-I-L-L.
Spring is the perfect time to make smart financial moves like getting life insurance to protect your family. Did you know that 46% of Americans expect to leave behind debt? Policy Genius Life Insurance can cover those debts like mortgages, credit cards, car loans, college costs. In our Smart Life segment, understand that life insurance gets pricier with age and work coverage may fall short. Policy Genius simplifies by comparing quotes from top companies and ensuring unbiased advice. Their award-winning agents are ready to assist. So don't wait. Spring into action and secure your family's future. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 a year for $1 million of coverage. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes. That's policygenius.com.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
All right, so let's bring in a guy, you know, an honest man, and that's really all I ask my guests, to be honest. I want them to be smart, and I want them to have information to pass along to you that you don't know. And Brett Tallman has consistently done that, former U.S. attorney from Utah. He joins us tonight from Keystone, South Dakota. Okay, so what's the headline of the Republican committee press conference this morning for you as a former prosecutor?
A couple of things. The one you hit perfectly, and that is they're doing the business of the Department of Justice. This screams for the investigators that know this world and the IRS and the task force, the financial fraud task force, is well equipped to dig into these numbers. And that's the first and foremost thing. It's so unusual, Bill, to see a group of politicians stand there and talking about it. And it does a disservice to what they're actually finding. The second thing that jumps out to me that was pretty staggering was it's not just the amount of money, the $10 million, it's the 25 plus LLCs that are formed and the effort to move the money. If Hunter Biden is a consultant and he's getting paid by other foreign countries and it's all appropriate and lawful, and then he's a consultant that receives the checks and they come to him. And if he wants to give that to some of his family members, he may do so. But there are tax consequences. That's not what they did. They set up a syndicate of companies so that they could launder the money. And it's coming very, very close to me saying, unless they show that they paid taxes, all the ones that received it, it's not just tax criminal liability and exposure. It's actually a conspiracy to money launder and to gain those proceeds from countries that they shouldn't be, or if they are, they should be reporting. And so it's a criminal enterprise at this point. And you have racketeering concerns for this kind of conduct.
Okay. What's this FBI memo that they're going to subpoena, the House Oversight Committee wants to subpoena? What is this FBI memo?
So I had suspected that it was a 302 form. I think it's something similar if it's not. And that would be a form of an intake form. Somebody calls the FBI or somebody says, hey, I want to tell you something about the Bidens that I believe is evidence of criminality. So they take down that information and they should be following up with it. What we're informed from Grassley, and you know, who's very serious about this, is he believes that it is valid, that it has credibility, and they want answers as to whether or not it's been buried. If in fact it outlines that Joe Biden was part of a scheme receiving money in exchange for favors that he might be able to accomplish as vice president, then you bring into play all kinds of criminal behavior, including possibly treason.
Okay, so somebody, a whistleblower, somebody else, contacted the FBI with information about Joe Biden, that he may have done something illegal or whatever, okay? The FBI had memorialized that in writing, that's the memo, but nobody's seen the memo outside of the Bureau. Is that where we are on it?
Well, my guess is, Bill, that the upper echelon in the Department of Justice has seen that memo. It is one that there are requirements when there are allegations, credible allegations that come in. There are requirements that Director Wray would have to see that and that he would have to communicate to at least the Deputy Attorney General, if not the Attorney General.
Okay, but Wray doesn't have to say it's credible. That's the dodge. He goes, I don't think this is credible. Put it in the bottom drawer. And that's what the Republicans are kind of suggesting, that the FBI didn't act on this and put it away, and now they want to see it. And they'll be able to get that memo by subpoena, correct?
They will be able to. I mean, that is big. They will try to dodge it, try to say it's an ongoing investigation, but it's clearly going to be obtainable.
Okay. Final thing, Hannity and I went back and forth today, and it's his show, so he gets the lion's share of the airtime. I said that right now it would be unfair to convict Joe Biden of any crime. There is not that level of evidence yet. Ethical violation, yes. Criminality, not there yet. Do you disagree?
I do not disagree. Criminal law requires specific intent. So what we don't know yet is, did Hunter Biden lie to his father and give him money and tell him it was legitimate, or did somebody else? What was the intent and what did he know? And until you have those, you can't get a conviction on an individual.
Okay, let's shift over to Trump. So yesterday, a civil jury found him liable for misbehavior, put it whatever you want, and defamation, $5 million to a woman named E. Jean Carroll. Trump denies even knowing the woman, says, I didn't do it. This is all political. It's a witch hunt, on and on and on. Nobody knows what happened. That doesn't stop people from convicting Trump because that's what they do. It doesn't stop people from convicting Joe Biden because that's what they do. You hate a guy, you're going to convict him. But here, my observations, and I want you to comment on each one. First of all, it was not known widely that a man named Reid Hoffman, a billionaire, far-left guy associated with George Soros and Jeffrey Epstein, believe it or not, financed E. Jean Carroll's case. He paid for it all, okay? That was not widely reported. So right away, we have a political component, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the unseemly things about it, because you can't gain confidence in her interviews and all of her allegations that she was going to be able to sustain a fight against Donald Trump in litigation. And you know, it's one thing for lawyers to take it on contingency and finance it. It's a totally different issue when somebody comes in and actually pays for a case like this, because the lawyers aren't—they're not getting a contingency. So, yeah, how confident were they in their case?
And I would like to know if the people who testified on behalf of Ms. Carroll were paid as well. I don't know that.
Correct.
The second thing is that she, Ms. Carroll, could not even identify the year in which this alleged assault, took place. Now, her testimony is, I'm so discombobulated, whatever, but I'll tell you what I believe. If she had pinpointed a day when it happened and Trump had been out at New York that day, the case blows up. So it's better not to say, I don't know when it happened. It seems to me very, very suspicious. Now, I'll put myself on a jury now. A person was assaulted. You don't know when it happened? That is almost impossible for me as a juror to believe.
Yeah, it is. It leads me to think that there was more jury nullification going on than anything else in this case, where they were willing to ignore a lot of the deficiencies in the testimony, a lot of the inaccuracies. And quite frankly, she very, very compromised even the coherent parts of her testimony to begin with. So the jury had to find something, and they did it more based on emotion, my guess is, than they did on the facts or the law.
Now, do you believe that Trump will have this overturned on appeal?
There's a really strong argument whenever the judge limits the scope of cross-examination like happened. That's something, Bill, that you just don't see in cases.
Well, explain that. How did the judge limit cross-examination?
So the judge refused to allow the defense attorneys for President Trump to actually go into, in a lot more detail, with the witness, the area that it allegedly happened, to present evidence that there were not people there at the time, or that it couldn't have happened at the location that was being suggested. So anytime you see that sort of limitation, you think on appeal, the court may say, hey, you know, it's a low threshold. This isn't beyond reasonable doubt. And because of that, you've got to give deference to the defense attorneys to actually explore with a witness, you know, much fuller than the judge may have. That's
right,
the
so
only vulnerability I see.
You think that he has a chance on appeal?
I do. Yep.
All right. This case is very similar to Paula Jones's case against President Clinton. It's almost identical. Now, the Jones case was settled by Clinton. He settled it out. But the accusations were public, and it did not hurt Bill Clinton as far as being reelected to the presidency. So I do want to point that out. I mean, people say that Trump, this. But remember the Paula Jones thing. Do you know any difference between what Paula Jones alleged and what E. Jean Carroll alleged? Is there anything I'm missing here? I want to be fair.
It seemed that the Paula Jones had a little better sort of foundation in terms of when, where, and what happened. Much more consistency, at least it seemed, even though there was fuzziness on the details. So I actually gave more credibility to Paula Jones' case.
All right. Okay, Brett, thank you very much for helping us as always, and stay on your toes. There's so many things happening on this Biden case, and I'm sure we'll be back.
We'll be ready.
And very nice of you to help us out as always. We appreciate it.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
All right, let's bring in Bernie Goldberg. So, you know, Bernie and I have a long history. We go way back. Bernie is now the purveyor of BernardGoldberg.com, which is a very interesting website. You ought to go there and give Bernie a hard time. And he does not like Donald Trump, Mr. Goldberg. I don't like him at all. That's why I want him on, because we got Bowling, who loves Donald Trump, coming up right behind. All right, so you listen to me blow Vietnam. That must have been painful for you. For 21 minutes, Goldberg, 21 minutes on a debate. You're still breathing. You're still, I don't think you nodded off. Did I make any mistakes? Yeah.
Well, I have to put something in perspective first. You said that I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. That's true. But I'm not a never Trumper. If he would have a different character, a different personality, I'd support him. I want him to win in November. He's going to have to do it without my support, but I want him to win because I agree with you that if Joe Biden wins, the hard left is going to be calling the shots. Now, one of the reasons I'm not a fan of Donald Trump is since I want Republicans to win, I don't think his performance last night, to use only the latest example, helps that happen. That's why I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I'm not one of the people who hates him or anything else. I just think he's got a toxic personality, and he's hurting the things I would like to see done. Okay.
All right.
As far as your, I think you got a lot of it right. As on Chris Wallace, I'm a big fan of Chris Wallace, but I totally agree with you that he doesn't have to fact check everything. That would be unreasonable. But when Joe Biden says, I'm not going to answer the question about packing the court. You can't just move on. You wouldn't move on. I wouldn't move on. Chris shouldn't have moved on. He says, wait a second. there's a lot at stake here. We need to know why you won't answer the question. Your answer as to, well, it's going to be the headline. Well, maybe it is going to be the headline. But isn't President Trump onto something when he says you're afraid of the left wing of your party, that you'll alienate them? It's one thing to be impartial and not want to get involved in the scuffle. But you can't let those things, as you said, you correctly said, you can't let those things go without getting involved and saying, hold on now.
And that, if you do let them go, that opens the door for Trump to come in and do it, which is what happened. So you can take Trump out of it and say, look, I'm the moderator. I'll ask the question. But if you don't ask a question, you can't expect an opponent to sit there mute while Joe Biden is saying, well, my son Hunter didn't do anything wrong.
Why? Nor can you expect an opponent who is president of the United States of America to interrupt every 3 seconds and come off in, I'm guessing now because I don't know, but I would think he's going to alienate the sliver of the audience that didn't have their minds already made up. When you interrupt like that, when you come off as unpresidential as he came off, that's fine with his base. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh earlier today. That's fine with Rush Limbaugh, who thinks that being civil and polite is sort of a weakness for Republicans. But it's the swing voters, the independent swing voters, that may very well decide this election. Yeah. And I don't think interrupting.
Particularly women. You know, I said, look, in the first 7 minutes of the debate, Trump just dominated. All right. And again, I'll go back to my analysis last night. I hope people watch it. First 7 minutes, Trump was calm, facts, boom, 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 boom. But then he got increasingly frustrated because of what we just said, that there was this stuff coming out and it wasn't challenged. Questions were all over the place and nothing was getting accomplished in Trump's mind. He's a very impatient man and he doesn't have any discipline over what he says. And as you pointed out, and I think correctly, that's going to hurt him in the election. So the next question is, how badly do you believe the president hurt himself last night?
Let me answer it this way, Bill. If my crystal ball broke in 2016, I'm not in the prediction business anymore. But if he loses, and I want everybody to hear the word if he loses, last night's debate will be a big reason for that loss.
Do you think COVID? I think COVID just is the main reason. If there were no COVID and the economy had continued along the vibrant line that it was on, I think he would have walked in because I think Joe Biden is such a weak opponent.
I agree with that, too. You can get away with a lot when things are going well. When the economy is going well, and it's come back in spectacular fashion, you can get away with a lot. When 200,000 people plus die, you can't get away with as much as you could before that.
Yeah, and you're using the word get away and not in a pejorative, just in people will ignore certain things. Right, I just want to make sure of that.
Yeah, thanks. I think people will be more apt to cut you slack and give you a break and minimize what I and many, many others see as the defects in your personality, as long as it's the lowest unemployment in many, many years.
Right.
For white people, for black people, for women people, for men people, for black people, for Hispanic people, for Asian people, they'll cut you a lot of slack. But when things aren't going as that well with COVID, for instance, I believe they won't cut you as much slack.
I think you're right on that. All right, but I'm voting the country. I'm not voting guys here. I'm voting the country here. Bernie Goldberg, you can find him at BernardGoldberg.com. Appreciate it as always. Good to see you, Bernie. Next. The other side. So Bowling is the host of America This Week and United We Stand on the Sinclair broadcast band. And you can go to his Facebook page, and then you can see Eric Bolling and what he does and how he does it. And extremely impressive, Bolling, your Facebook page. Okay, so I say that Donald Trump did not help himself last night. I think the polling will reflect that coming up. You say?
I say usually you're right and this time you're wrong. This is a replay of 2016. You know, I listened to Bernie Goldberg being noncommittal across the board as usual, as he was in 2016. Here's what's going on. You can watch these debates and try and figure out who's winning, who did themselves right and wrong. It doesn't really matter because how many times, Bill, have you had people come up to you? I've had it hundreds of times, maybe more, maybe thousands of times saying, I'm going to vote for Trump. And I go, well, why don't you say that? Here's what happens. The left has made it so embarrassing, so awful to say you're voting for Trump or you like Trump or you're pro-Trump, you're a racist, you're a xenophobe, you're a sexist, you're something, you're awful, whatever you are. But when you get in the voting booth, and you know this happens, when you get in the voting booth, you vote with your wallet. And what is better than Trump? What's the perception? Is Trump going to be better for your family and your family's economy going forward, or is Biden? Clearly, the perception is Trump is going to be better because he has been better than Democrats. COVID's the only thing the Democrat, the left, had to hang their hat on. They were going into this thing getting trounced. They had an old octogenarian, somebody would be an octogenarian by the time he left if he was president. They had nothing. They nominated Joe Biden, the most anti-diverse candidate possibly could. So they didn't have that. The economy was ripping. They needed something. COVID happens from China, and they're going to hang this on Trump. It's insane. It was the only thing they had. No, I don't think COVID's going to be a factor. It may be a factor to some, but you know what happened? I hate to say this, Bill. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, God rest her soul, she died at the right time.
Well, it was interesting last night that Amy Coney Barrett disappeared in the first minute and a half of the debate. Biden obviously didn't want any part of that. I think the left knows that she will be confirmed and that President Trump will benefit a bit from it. So you, Eric Bolling, tonight on the No Spin News are predicting what? A landslide for Donald Trump? What are you predicting?
No. And I did the math in 2016. I'll do it again. He needs North Carolina. North Carolina, in my opinion, is going to be the state he has to win to win it, because there are other paths, but not without North Carolina. Even without Pennsylvania, there's some northern paths that could happen. I think he needs to win that. I believe. I think the Democrats threw him beside, well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing, but the Democrats' response to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing and Amy Coney Barrett being seated, they threw Trump a lifeline. Here's what they did. They said, we're going to stack the court. Now, that was the biggest foolish mistake they possibly could have said prior to the election, because now anyone who cares about the Supreme Court, single-issue voters, are going to come out and say, I don't want that to happen. I like a nine-member Supreme Court. We have Democrats now saying, Democrat attorneys general coming out saying, nine-member Supreme Court is what we want to have going forward. This is going to energize, if you don't even like Trump and you're a conservative, you don't like Trump, you're going to be energized to come out and make sure the Senate at least turns for Trump. And some of the people who pull the lever for a Republican Senate are going to do it for the president too.
All right, Bolling, we got you on tight, man. We'll have you right back.
With high confidence,
if you're wrong,
Mr. O'Reilly,
mess up your hair. You know that. Okay. Eric Bolling, everybody. Check him out on Sinclair.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.